Satan's Counterfeit Christianity by Roderick C. Meredith. The astounding message in this book will affect you in the years just ahead and will also affect your eternal future. It is vitally important. This information has been suppressed for many centuries, but it is information that you need to know. This recording is produced and distributed by the Living Church of God as a free public educational service and may be reproduced only in its entirety. Edited reproduction is prohibited. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Our audio engineer is Ray Pereira. Reading by Don Davis. This booklet contains genuine, shocking information for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. It has profound implications for the future of our civilization. Yet the facts contained herein have been documented again and again by respected historians and even many theologians. They are not based on some pie-in-the-sky theory or concept. The now swiftly developing result of false religion will dramatically affect your very life within the next decade, far more than you probably imagine. For this explosive revelation is not just for religious people, it is for everyone. All our lives will soon be affected. We all need to ask ourselves, quote, how did I come to believe what I now believe about religion, morality, and the entire purpose of human existence? If my friends and I have just blindly gone along with generally accepted ideas, isn't it likely that most other people have also done the same? Is it possible that we have blindly accepted false religious ideas, which have, in fact, greatly affected the way our entire societies have developed, the kind of legal systems, educational systems, and religious systems that we have devised and that we take for granted? Have you ever asked yourself these basic questions? If there is a real God, and if the Bible is His inspired revelation to humanity, then we should carefully consider what the Bible clearly says about these questions. For the Bible specifically says, quote, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, close quote. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, King James Version. Again and again, the Bible clearly shows that most human beings are deceived. Describing the end times, the Apostle John described the devil in this manner, quote, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Close quote. Revelation 12, verse 9. The more than 2 billion, quote, Christians, close quote, in the major denominations are part of the, quote, whole world that John described, and many are deceived. These people and their preachers do not intend to be evil, for a deceived person does not know that he is deceived. It is important that we understand that distinction. So I am not being mean by writing the above, for the God of heaven commands me to preach the truth, and I cannot help you if I simply share sweet platitudes and pretend that all is well, when all is not well. For we are now nearing the very end of 6,000 years of human history under the influence of Satan the devil, whom Jesus Christ called the, quote, ruler of this world, close quote, John 14, verse 30. Sincerity is not enough. I am well aware that thousands of you who will read this booklet are very sincere in your desire to be Christian. You truly think that the form of religion you grew up practicing is what Jesus Christ and the apostles taught. Many ministers and priests also sincerely believe the same things. You mean well. What you need to realize is that billions of other human beings have lived and died without ever understanding or practicing any type of professing Christianity. The majority of the world's population has never at any time professed Christianity. And most of these people have also been very sincere, just as you may be. So it is not a matter of sincerity or of following the majority. It is a matter of finding the genuine truth regarding the purpose of human existence and finding the true way to fulfill that magnificent purpose. Is sincere religiosity enough? No. All religions are not equal. If you are willing to prove to yourself that the one great Creator is the true God and that the Bible is His inspired revelation to mankind, then you must understand that there is only one way to eternal life. And that way is through the true Jesus Christ of the Bible. As the Apostle Peter stated, quote, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Close quote. Acts 4, verses 10 through 12. Yet very few professing Christians even begin to grasp the enormity of the deception orchestrated by Satan the devil. They find it hard to grasp the fact that Satan has not only deceived those in the pagan non-Christian world, but that he has devised a counterfeit Christianity and has foisted it off on millions who sincerely think they are following the Christ of the Bible. As the Apostle Peter warned the Corinthians, quote, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Close quote. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. Indeed, another Jesus, a totally different Jesus Christ, has been palmed off on an unsuspecting humanity. Remember, a counterfeit $100 bill is designed to look very much like an authentic bill. Seeing the apparent similarities, people are often deceived into accepting the counterfeit. So it is with Satan, the master deceiver. For your own sake, please be willing to consider whether you have been misled into assuming that you are truly following the Christ of the Bible and what he actually taught. For your Bible clearly indicates that only genuine Christians will be protected during the coming Holocaust, the Great Tribulation described by Jesus Christ. Very soon now, within the next several years, the great God of all creation will begin to intervene directly, more powerfully than ever. The recent hurricanes that came smashing through Florida, New Orleans, and the Gulf Coast of the United States are only a small prelude to what God will begin to do in these last days. Jesus Christ specifically predicted, quote, "And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful signs and great signs from heaven, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Luke 21, verses 11, 25, and 26. The great God will get mankind's attention. He will help those who are willing to understand to come out of this modern Babylon, Revelation 18, verse 4, and to extricate themselves from Satan's society. The Apostle Paul was also inspired to tell us that Satan the devil is the literal god of this world society. Paul wrote, quote, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Close quote. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. The basic premise. The basic premise of this booklet is that our Creator has allowed a very real devil to absolutely deceive most of humanity for the past 6,000 years. Satan has, in fact, established a counterfeit religion in order to mislead the entire world. But the great Creator will soon intervene to send Jesus Christ back to the earth as, quote, King of kings and Lord of lords, close quote, Revelation 19, verse 16. When he returns, Christ will cast Satan into a bottomless pit, quote, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished, close quote, Revelation 20, verse 3. One of the primary ways Satan deceives most people is to make them think that he does not even exist. So people make jokes about how, quote, the devil did it, close quote, feeling that there is not a real devil after all. But as we have seen, Jesus Christ called Satan, quote, the ruler of this world, close quote. How did Satan come into being? What are his methods of deception? And most importantly, how did Satan deceive the whole world? When Jesus Christ quoted from, quote, Daniel the prophet, close quote, Mark 13, verse 14, he considered those writings as holy scripture in the book of Daniel. We find spirit beings, both angels and demons, described on a number of occasions. After Daniel had been fasting to seek greater understanding, God sent an angel to encourage him, Daniel 10, verses 10 through 12. The angel gave Daniel a remarkable explanation about why it had taken him so long to answer Daniel's prayers. Quote, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Close quote, verses 13 and 14. Later, this same angel recounted further details of the unseen spiritual world. Quote, then he said, do you not know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael your prince. Close quote, verses 20 and 21. Clearly this passage is speaking of spirit wars. It is describing the struggle that goes on behind world affairs in the spirit world. For Satan the devil is described as, quote, the god of this age, close quote, who, quote, has blinded, close quote, the unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan is also called, quote, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, close quote. Ephesians 2, verse 2. The angel speaking to Daniel was describing a battle among spirit beings, wherein even the great archangel Michael, see Daniel 12, verse 1, had to be called in for assistance. This world, this age, this nearly 6,000-year period from Adam until now, has been and still is a society dominated by Satan the devil and millions of fallen angels or demons who followed him in rebellion against the Creator God. Satan is not just a generalized term for evil. Satan is not a blind force. Satan the devil is a powerful spiritual personality, originally created by God as a cherub who rebelled against God. His original name, Lucifer, means light-bringer. But since his rebellion, he has been called Satan, which means adversary. Notice Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, quote, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations! For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit, close quote. Here we find the mighty Lucifer plotting to overthrow God. His great capacity and vanity made him decide to compete with his Creator. In Ezekiel 28, verses 1 through 16, God describes first the human prince of Tyre. He was obviously a man of great capacity and the full leader on the human sphere over this New York of the ancient world. Then Ezekiel began to describe the real, quote, power behind the throne, close quote, the king of this pagan city-state. Notice, quote, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. Close quote. Verses 12 and 13. Here we find a personality who existed millennia before Tyre in the Garden of Eden. Yet he was a created being, verse 15, not a member of the God family. Satan has a kingdom. After his political bargaining and maneuvering to gain followers, Satan was cast out of the mountain, or kingdom of God. As Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4 indicates, Satan was able to draw after himself one-third of the angelic host in this rebellion against God. These fallen angels are now called demons. Satan has literally millions of fallen angels who are his followers, and in that sense has a kingdom over which he rules in the spirit world. Matthew recounts the story of Jesus' temptation by Satan, a very conniving personality. Quote, Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Close quote, Matthew 4, verse 1. This gospel account forewarns us that Satan is not against quoting Scripture. In fact, Satan even had the audacity to quote Scripture to the author of Scripture, Jesus Christ. Quote, Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, quote, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Close quote. Matthew 4, verses 5 and 6. Then Satan offered Jesus, quote, All the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Close quote. Verses 8 and 9. Of course, Jesus knew the spiritual principles involved and correctly applied the appropriate scripture in response, saying, quote, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Close quote, verse 10. Jesus chose to obey God and to receive his kingdom in God's time and in God's way. Later, when Jesus was accused of using Beelzebub to cast out demons, he said, quote, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his, Satan's, kingdom stand? Close quote. Matthew 12, verses 25 and 26. Satan does have a kingdom. He is the invisible god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He is the prime deceiver of men and nations. Quote, So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Close quote. Revelation 12, verse 9. Satan is the spirit being who will powerfully influence and perhaps even finally possess a soon-to-come charismatic political dictator who will seduce a mighty world superpower arising in a revived militant united Europe, the end-time Babylon. Satan will be the god who animates and empowers the false religious system that will undergird this world-dominating economic and military power. Do not just believe me or take my word for it. Look at the Bible for yourself. God's Word predicts that this coming oppressive system will be literally energized by demons. Quote, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." Close quote, Revelation 18, verses 1 through 4. Satan will motivate these coming world rulers to fight against Christ at his return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Christ will depose Satan, and his wicked rule will come to a sure end. Satan, the counterfeiter. Jesus condemned the religious leaders of his day for their hypocrisy. Those ecclesiastical figures made a pretense of being godly, yet refused to follow the spiritual intent of God's law. Jesus attributed to them Satan's own character, using the analogy that since their father was Satan, they could only behave, quote, like father, like son, close quote. The devil lies and murders, so who should be surprised if the devil's children do the same, preaching a perverted gospel of deception and falsehood? It is important to grasp that Satan is the literal, quote, father of lies, close quote. He continually and cleverly lies and deceives mankind, and so do his servants. In fact, lying becomes so common to people under Satan's influence that they often find it easier to tell a lie than to tell the truth. As part of his conspiracy to thwart God and overthrow his great plan for mankind, Satan has his own ministers. The Apostle Paul warned Christians about the great deception caused by Satan and his ministers. Quote, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Close quote, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Satan's ministers often look and sound like what deceived people think Christ's ministers should sound like. But they preach another Jesus and proclaim a different gospel. It is up to each individual, including you, to genuinely study the Bible and to prove what Jesus and the early apostles taught and practiced. The Two Babylons. The Bible specifically describes not one, but two Babylons. Not long after the Great Flood, one Babylon was founded, the ancient city-state established by a man named Nimrod, Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10. The second Babylon is a modern church-state system described in Revelation 17 and 18. Its leaders will literally fight Christ at his second coming, Revelation 17, verse 12 through 14. Think about that. Hundreds of millions of people in this end-time Babylon are so deceived that they will have the audacity to literally do battle with the returning Son of God and the armies of heaven. To understand how this system called Babylon began, let us go back to the earliest days of man's history. In Genesis 10, soon after the flood, mankind began to multiply again. Wild animals also multiplied, and people needed protection. At this point, a son of Cush was born. The Bible tells us, quote, "Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar." Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10. So this, quote, mighty hunter, close quote, said to have been a powerfully built man, began to gather people into cities for protection, and also to put them under his personal control. The beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel, Babylon. From there, he went on to establish other cities and to gather men together in a relationship that made them feel independent from God, not needing God's protection. Finally, mankind, having, quote, one language and one speech, close quote, Genesis 11, verse 1, began to build a massive skyscraper or tower that had been called, quote, the Tower of Babel, close quote, verse 4 through 9. God knew that under this Babylonish system, mankind was quickly drawing away from him and would soon invent weapons and means to destroy himself. God said, quote, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Close quote, verse 6. The creative power of the human mind was such that God knew mankind might invent terrible weapons capable of destroying the earth, and that his plan to give mankind 6,000 years to write the lessons of human suffering could be cut short before he intended. So God came down to, quote, confuse their language, close quote, and to scatter them over the face of the earth. But history and consistent, pervasive stories and ancient legends from nearly all nations indicate that the philosophies and religions started by Nimrod and his wicked wife Semiramis have continued down to this day. For after Nimrod's death, his wife Semiramis claimed that he was now the sun god. As author Alexander Hislop wrote, quote, the Chaldean mysteries can be traced up to the days of Semiramis, who lived only a few centuries after the flood, and who is known to have impressed upon them the image of her own depraved and polluted mind. That beautiful but abandoned queen of Babylon was not only herself a paragon of unbridled lust and licentiousness, but in the mysteries which she had a chief hand in forming, she was worshipped as Ra, the great mother of the gods, with such atrocious rites as identified her with Venus, the mother of all impurity, and raised the very city where she had reigned to a bad eminence among the nations, as the great seat at once of idolatry and consecrated prostitution. Thus was this Chaldean queen a fit and remarkable prototype of the woman in the apocalypse, with the golden cup in her hand and the name on her forehead, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The apocalyptic emblem of the harlot woman with the cup in her hand was even embodied in the symbols of idolatry derived from ancient Babylon, as they were exhibited in Greece, for thus was the Greek Venus originally represented. Close quote, The Two Babylons, page 5 and 6. Counterfeit religion spreads. The Babylonian system of idolatrous worship spread all over the world as the inhabitants of the city itself were scattered, Genesis 11, verse 9. As they went from Babylon, these men took their worship of mother and child and the various mystery symbols with them. Herodias, the world traveler and historian of antiquity, witnessed the mystery religion and its rites in many countries, and he wrote of how Babylon was the prime evil source from which all systems of idolatry flowed. In his noted work, Nineveh and Its Remains, Laird wrote that we have the united testimony of sacred and profane history that idolatry originated in the area of Babylonia. Alexander Hislop quotes these historians and others confirming this point in his remarkable thesis mentioned above. Later, the Roman Empire assimilated into its system the gods and religions of the countries over which it ruled. Since Babylon was the source of this paganism, we can easily see how Rome's early religion was formed of Babylonish worship that had developed under different forms and different names in the countries to which it had gone. In his well-documented book, Pagan and Christian Creeds, Edward Carpenter wrote, quote, the similarity of ancient pagan legends and beliefs with Christian traditions was so great that they excited the attention and undisguised wrath of the early Christian. Not knowing how to explain it, they fell back to the theory the devil, centuries before, caused the pagans to adapt certain beliefs and practices, page 25. Carpenter also quoted Tertullian, an early, quote, Christian father, close quote, living between 160 and 220 A.D., as saying, quote, "The devil, by the mysteries of his idols, imitated even the main part of the divine mysteries," close quote. Also, Carpenter noted, quote, "Cortez, too, complained that the devil had possibly taught the Mexicans the same things that God taught Christendom," close quote. The famous Spanish explorer found that the originally pagan inhabitants of Mexico were already practicing the same pagan rites and had many of the same pagan beliefs that the Roman Catholic Church had assimilated. Since the practices of today's churches are not the same as the early true church recorded in the New Testament, it is vital to know whether there has been a purposeful mixing of false pagan practices with the true teachings of Christ, the apostles, and the Bible. Many historians, such as Edward Gibbon, have noted the change brought about by great numbers of pagans flocking into the early Christian church and mixing their pagan customs and beliefs with those of the church. See Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, Volume 1, Chapter 15. Notice how today's churches have sprung from the same roots as paganism. Satan has created an entire system of counterfeit Christianity. He has cleverly guided vain religious leaders to introduce completely pagan ideas, concepts, and practices into Christianity. Since the word, quote, Christianity, close quote, is stamped on the outside of the package, most people assume that the religion of Jesus Christ is being offered. Little do they realize that totally false concepts of God, of Jesus Christ and His message, of the purpose of eternal life, and of the way to eternal life, have been wrapped up in a package called Christianity. That theirs is a counterfeit Christianity that has cut most of mankind off from the true God and has caused enormous confusion, suffering, and death. Notice these excerpts from pagan and Christian creeds. Quote, "The Christian church has kept itself severely apart from discussion of heathenism, taking the stand that it, the church, represents a unique and divine revelation, and has persuaded mankind of this to such a degree that few people nowadays realize that it has sprung from just the same root as paganism, and that it shares, by far, the most part of its doctrines and rites with the latter." Close quote. Carpenter, page 11 and 12. Quote, "The common idea that the pagan gods fled away at Christ's coming, yet it is well known to every student that this is contrary to fact. At the time of the recorded appearance of Christ, and for some centuries later, there were temples without and dedicated to Apollo or Dionysus among the Greeks, or Hercules among the Romans, Mithra among the Persians, Baal and Astarte among the Babylonians, and temples dedicated to many other gods. An outstanding phenomenon is apparent. Notwithstanding great geographical distances, racial differences between cults, and in detail of services, the general outline of creeds and ceremonials were, if not identical, markedly similar." Close quote. Pages 19 through 21. Quote, "Not only were these pagan creeds and ceremonies, which had existed centuries before Christ's coming, markedly similar to each other, but also they were similar to true Christianity, a fact that cannot be considered accidental. As an example of this, of 11 main deities from 7 countries, it was believed of all or nearly all that these deities' births were on or near Christmas, of a virgin mother in a cave underground, that they led a life of toil for man. They were called light bringers, healers, mediators, and saviors. They were thought to have been vanquished by the powers of darkness, descended into hell or the underworld, to have arisen and become pioneers of mankind to a heavenly world. Krishna, the god of India, is an outstanding parallel with the life of Christ." Close quote. Pages 21 through 23. Carpenter goes on to write, quote, The idea of God sacrificing his Son for the salvation of the world is so remote and remarkable, yet it ranges through all ancient religion and back to the earliest times and is embodied in their rituals. Page 133. These unusual customs were so similar to the truth that they strongly suggest that there must have been some guiding force behind them. A counterfeit Christianity was being created by the invisible God of this age, who Jesus Christ called the Father of Lies. John 8, verse 44. The Da Vinci Code. It is evident that with such marked similarities to actual Christianity, as are shown by the 11 deities from 7 countries, one should approach this subject with an open mind to see if a fusion of paganism and true Christianity is present today. Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code spent many months at or near the top of the bestseller list. Millions have been enthralled by this fascinating novel. What is so unusual about it? Though cast in the form of a novel, and containing fiction and error, it can spur the reader to realize that a lot more is under the surface of our religious ideas and practices than usually meets the eye. There are 3 principal characters in the Da Vinci Code: Sophie Neveu, a gifted French cryptologist; Robert Langdon, a Harvard symbologist; and Lee Teabing, a former British royal historian. Let us, quote, listen in, close quote, on their conversation about the origins of what the world today calls Christianity. Quote, "Historians still marvel at the brilliance with which Constantine converted the sun-worshipping pagans to Christianity. By fusing pagan symbols, dates, and rituals into the growing Christian tradition, he created a kind of hybrid religion that was acceptable to both parties." Transmogrification, Langdon said. The vestiges of pagan religion in Christian symbology are undeniable. Egyptian sun disks became the halos of Catholic saints. Pictograms of Isis nursing her miraculously conceived son Horus became the blueprint for our modern images of the Virgin Mary nursing baby Jesus. And virtually all of the elements of the Catholic ritual, the mitre, the altar, the doxology, and the communion, the act of God eating, were taken directly from earlier pagan mystery religions. Teabing groaned. Don't get a symbologist started on Christian icons. Nothing in Christianity is original. The pre-Christian god Mithras, called the Son of God and the Light of the World, was born on December 25th, died, was buried in a rock tomb, and then resurrected in 3 days. By the way, December 25th is also the birthday of Osiris and Dionysus. The newborn Krishna was presented with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even Christianity's weekly holy day was stolen from the pagans. What do you mean? Originally, Langdon said, Christianity honored the Jewish Sabbath of Saturday, but Constantine shifted it to coincide with the pagans' version day of the sun. He paused, grinning. To this day, most churchgoers attend services on Sunday morning with no idea that they are there on account of the pagan sun god's weekly tribute, Sunday. Close quote. The Da Vinci Code, pages 232 and 233. The Historical Truth. Quote, "But that is all fiction," you might say. Where did this crazy author get all these strange ideas? I am sure that my religion is based completely upon the Bible. Close quote. Please, my friends, do not be too sure. The Bible itself tells us, quote, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." Close quote, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, King James Version. The actual truth is, and I do challenge you to prove it, that this part of Dan Brown's book is based on solid fact. For historian after historian acknowledges that the original Christianity of Jesus and the apostles was dramatically changed within a few centuries after Jesus' death. As noted historian Will Durant wrote, quote, "Christianity did not destroy paganism, it adopted it. The Greek mind, dying, came to a transmigrated life in the theology and liturgy of the church. The Greek language, having reigned for centuries over philosophy, became the vehicle of Christian literature and ritual. The Greek mysteries passed down into the impressive mystery of the Mass. Other pagan cultures contributed to the synchronist result. From Egypt came the idea of a divine trinity and a personal immortality of reward and punishment. From Egypt, the adoration of the mother and child, and the mystic theosophy that made Neoplatonism and Gnosticism and obscured the Christian creed. There, too, Christian monasticism would find its exemplars and its source. From Phrygia came the worship of the Great Mother. From Syria, the resurrection drama of Adonis. From Thrace, perhaps, the cult of Dionysus, the dying and saving God. The Mithraic ritual so closely resembled the Eucharistic sacrifice of the Mass that Christian fathers charged the devil with inventing these similarities to mislead frail minds. Christianity was the last great creation of the ancient pagan world. The Eucharist was a conception long sanctified by time. The pagan mind needed no schooling to receive it. By embodying the mystery of the Mass, Christianity became the last and greatest of the mystery religions. Close quote. The Story of Civilization, Volume 5, Durant, pages 595 and 599. Paul Johnson is one of the many highly respected historians who openly acknowledged that the biblical seventh-day Sabbath observed by Christ and the original apostles was changed. Quote, "Many Christians did not make a clear distinction between this sun cult and their own. They referred to Christ, quote, driving his chariot across the sky, close quote. They held their services on Sunday, knelt toward the east, and had their nativity feast on 25 December, the birthday of the sun, at the winter solstice. During the latter pagan revival under the Emperor Julian, many Christians found it easy to apostatize because of this confusion. The Bishop of Troyes told Julian he had always prayed secretly to the sun. Constantine never abandoned sun worship and kept the sun on his coins. He made Sunday into a day of rest." Close quote. A History of Christianity, page 67 through 69. What happened after Constantine? The widely read mainstream religious author Jesse Lyman Hurlbut explains, quote, "The forms and ceremonies of paganism gradually crept into the worship. Some of the old heathen feasts became church festivals with change of name and of worship. About 405 A.D., images of saints and martyrs began to appear in the churches, at first as memorials, then in succession, revered, adored, and worshipped. The adoration of the Virgin Mary was substituted for the worship of Venus and Diana. The Lord's Supper became a sacrifice in place of a memorial, and the elder evolved from a preacher into a priest. The church and the state became one when Christianity was adopted as the religion of the empire. And out of the unnatural union arose two evils, one in the eastern and the other in the western provinces. In the east, the state dominated the church until it lost all energy and uplifting life. In the west, Rome, as we shall see, the church gradually usurped power over the state, and the result was not Christianity, but a more or less corrupt hierarchy controlling the nations of Europe, making the church mainly a political machine." Close quote. The Story of the Christian Church, pages 79 and 80. A Modern Babylon Created. So where does all this lead? We have just read Hurlbut's statement that the professing Christian church of the Middle Ages was, quote, "mainly a political machine," close quote. It was saturated with pagan concepts, doctrines, and practices. Did the leaders of the Protestant Reformation really bring the professing Christian church, quote, "back on track," close quote, to the, quote, "faith which was once for all delivered to the saints," close quote, back to the true Christianity of Jesus and the original apostles? Jude 3. Although sincere, the Protestant reformers carried over most of the anti-law, anti-obedience attitudes they had come to adopt in their rebellion against, quote, Mother Rome, close quote. Like Rome, they were still involved in a paganized system of false doctrines, pagan holy days, and false concepts of God, which God himself describes in Revelation 17, verses 4 and 5. Quote, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Close quote. With this form of, quote, Christianity, close quote, as the state religion, masses of former pagans were, quote, converted, close quote. Many did so out of convenience rather than conviction, and kept their old beliefs privately. Others came to the new syncretistic faith uneducated in its beliefs and able to receive only the most basic instruction. Babylon is a symbol of confusion. The formation of the Roman Catholic Church and then later the appearance of dozens of, quote, daughter, close quote, churches has certainly brought about a spiritual malaise of conflicting denominations, doctrines, creeds, and practices, all supposedly Christian. Yet none of them corresponds remotely to the Christianity that the original apostles and the early Church of God followed for decades after the death of Jesus of Nazareth. They have retained dozens of pagan ideas and practices that would have been utterly foreign to the early church. Satan has indeed done a masterful job of creating a counterfeit Christianity. Although Alexander Hislop appears to have remained a Protestant until his death, he carefully pointed out, with much historical documentation, that the modern Roman Catholic Church is a continuation of the ancient Babylonish mystery system, and that its religious festivals and most of its practices were drawn directly from the Babylonian religion and its priesthood. Hislop particularly makes the connection with the, quote, daughter, close quote, churches that have come out of Rome, but he was evidently blinded to the full meaning of what has happened to modern, quote, Christianity, close quote. Near the beginning of The Two Babylons, Hislop lays out the basic thesis that he goes on to document in full. Quote, it has been known all along that popery was baptized paganism, but God is now making it manifest that the paganism which Rome has baptized is in all its essential elements the very paganism which prevailed in the ancient literal Babylon. When Jehovah opened before Cyrus the two-leaved gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, her judgment is now evidently hastening on, and just as it approaches, the providence of God, conspiring with the Word of God, by light pouring in from all quarters, makes it more and more evident that Rome is in every deed the Babylon of the Apocalypse, that the essential character of her system, the grand objects of her worship, her festivals, her doctrine and discipline, her rites and ceremonies, her priesthood, and their orders have all been derived from ancient Babylon, and finally, that the Pope himself is truly and properly the lineal representative of Belshazzar. In the warfare that has been waged against the domineering pretensions of Rome, it has too often been counted enough merely to meet and set aside her presumptuous boasts that she is the mother and mistress of all churches, the one Catholic Church, out of whose pale there is no salvation. If ever there was an excuse for such a mode of dealing with her, that excuse will hold no longer. If the position I have laid down can be maintained, she must be stripped of the name of a Christian church altogether. For if it was a Church of Christ that was convened on that night when the Pontiff King of Babylon, in the midst of his thousand lords, praised the gods of gold and of silver and of wood and of stone, Daniel 5, verse 4, then the Church of Rome is entitled to the name of a Christian church, but not otherwise. This, to some, no doubt, will appear a very startling position, but it is the one which is the object of this work to establish, and let the reader judge for himself whether I do not bring ample evidence to substantiate my position. Hislop, pages 2 and 3. Later, Hyslop describes how the Catholic confessional was borrowed from paganism, giving priests greater authority over the lay members. He explains that the pagan festivals of Christmas and Easter were introduced into, quote, Christianity, close quote, centuries after Christ revealed the full truth to his apostles. Quote, indeed, Hyslop writes, it is admitted by the most learned and candid writers of all parties that the day of our Lord's birth cannot be determined, and that within the Christian Church no such festival as Christmas was ever heard of till the 3rd century, and that not till the 4th century was far advanced did it gain such observance. How, then, did the Romish Church fix on December the 25th as Christmas Day? Why, thus, long before the 4th century and long before the Christian era itself, a festival was celebrated among the heathen at that precise time of the year in honor of the birth of the son of the Babylonian queen of heaven. And it may be fair to presume that in order to conciliate the heathen and to swell the number of the nominal adherents of Christianity, the same festival was adopted by the Roman Church, giving it only the name of Christ. This tendency on the part of Christians to meet paganism halfway was very early developed, pages 92 and 93. Indeed, meeting paganism halfway, quote, was very early developed, close quote, Hyslop writes. Yet God clearly told our ancestors, quote, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Jeremiah 10, verses 2 through 4, King James Version. Yet modern-day churchgoers persist in doing just that, and they have the audacity to stamp the name Christian on the outside of this package of pagan beliefs and practices. Those genuinely interested in the basic history of this relationship between ancient Babylon and modern professing Christianity should, if possible, find and read such books as The Two Babylons, Pagan and Christian Creeds, The Golden Bough by Sir James Frazer, and many similar works of history and theology. If your mind is open, it is relatively easy to prove to yourself that modern churchianity is simply a continuation of the old Babylonian religion with the name, quote, Christian, close quote, stamped on the outside. Have Protestants come out of Babylon? Many conservative Protestant and Orthodox leaders and theologians will wholeheartedly agree that the Roman Catholic Church is indeed a continuation of Babylon. They are very familiar with the fact that most of the early Protestant leaders clearly identified Rome with the Babylon and with the great whore described in Revelation 17 and 18. But what is the real basis of the Protestant churches themselves throughout the world today? Why did the early leaders revolt against the authority of the Roman Catholic Church? To what extent are they responsible for today's divided Christendom? Did the Protestant reformers succeed in attaining their stated goals? More importantly, the real question is whether the Protestant reformers and their successors have succeeded in returning to the, quote, faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3. Each of us needs to examine the well-known saying of Chillingsworth, the Protestant theologian, quote, the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible is the religion of Protestants, close quote. Schaff Herzog, Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, article Chillingsworth, W. In their constant affirmation of the Scriptures as, quote, the inspired rule of faith and practice, close quote, also see article Bible, the Protestant leaders have committed themselves to follow the religion of Jesus Christ and his apostles in all respects. Virtually all scholars acknowledge that the primary and original founder of Protestantism was Dr. Martin Luther. Yet Luther constantly rejected the authority of Scripture when it pleased his own whims, although he often stated otherwise. It is remarkable that in rejecting the doctrine of transubstantiation, Luther declared the absolute authority of Scripture in matters of faith and practice. He states, quote, "For that which is asserted without authority of Scripture or of proven revelation may be held as an opinion, but there is no obligation to believe it. Transubstantiation must be considered as the invention of human reason, since it is based neither on Scripture nor sound reasoning." Close quote. Documents of the Christian Church, edited Batenson, page 280. If Luther had only applied this type of scriptural test to all his doctrines, the world today might be a different type of place. For when he was challenged with the inserting of the word sola, alone, into Romans 3, verse 28, he haughtily replied, as cited by historian Johannes Alsog, quote, "Should your pope give himself any useless annoyance about the word sola, you may promptly reply, 'It is the will of Dr. Martin Luther that it should be so.'" Close quote. Manual of Universal Church History, page 199. And it is worth noting, no other reason for such unscriptural changes as these were ever given. When it came to his personal doctrinal convictions, Martin Luther was truly a self-willed man. In judging any human or movement, Jesus said, quote, "By their fruits you will know them." Matthew 7, verse 20. Historian Henry C. Vedder recounts the instruction Martin Luther gave to the German princes when thousands of the peasants who had sincerely followed his revolt against Rome themselves rebelled against those arrogant princes. Quote, "Rebellion is not a vile murder, but like a great fire that kindles and devastates a country, hence uproar carries with it a land full of murder, bloodshed, makes widows and orphans, and destroys everything like the greatest calamity. Therefore, whoever can should smite, strangle, and stab, secretly or publicly, and should remember that there is nothing more poisonous, pernicious, and devilish than a rebellious man. Just as when one must slay a mad dog, fight him not, and he will fight you, and a whole country with you." Quote, "Let the civil powers press on confidently and strike as long as it can move a muscle. For here is the advantage. The peasants have bad consciences and unlawful goods, and whenever a peasant is killed, therefore he is lost body and soul and goes forever to the devil. Civil authority, however, has a clean conscience and lawful goods, and can say to God with all security of heart, quote, 'Behold, my God, thou hast appointed me prince or lord, and of that I cannot doubt, and has entrusted me with the sword against evildoers.'" Close quote. Romans 13, verse 4. "Therefore I will punish and smite as long as I can move a muscle. Thou wilt judge and approve." Close quote. Such wonderful times are these that a prince can more easily win heaven by shedding blood than others with prayers. Close quote. A Short History of the Baptists, pages 173 and 174. Well, may we ask ourselves, quote, "If these are the words of a reformer sent from God, then what is the measure of true religion?" Close quote. Are these the words of a man directed by the Holy Spirit of God? Was the risen Christ using this man to purify his, quote, little flock? Close quote. It is true that Luther and Calvin had personal religious motivations. Luther's mind was tortured with a personal sense of guilt. In his extreme emphasis on salvation by faith alone, he was trying desperately to devise some system where the law of God and the justice of God would have no place. But Luther's personal spiritual upheaval would have had little effect on Germany or the world had he not appealed to the political and financial interests of German princes. And, quote, "It is true to say that the motives which led to the Lutheran revolt were to a large extent secular rather than spiritual." Close quote. Alfred Plummer, The Continental Reformation, page 9. Especially in regard to his insistence on faith alone and his rejection of countless scriptures teaching the necessity for obedience, Luther was a stubborn, self-willed man. The Bible teaches, quote, "Sin is the transgression of the law," close quote, 1 John 3:4, King James Version. This is clearly referring to the Ten Commandments, the spiritual law, written by the very finger of God. The inspired James explains, quote, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." Close quote. James 2, verses 10 through 12. What law forbids adultery and killing? Obviously, James is referring to the Ten Commandments. And he concludes by telling us to speak and act according to this law. And the words of Jesus Christ agree. "For when a young man came to ask him the way to eternal life, he answered, quote, 'If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments,' close quote. And he proceeded to name some of the Ten Commandments," Matthew 19, verses 16 through 19. Completely ignoring its direct parallel with the teachings of Jesus Christ, Luther haughtily declared of the book of James, quote, "Compared with the epistles of St. Paul, this is in truth an epistle of straw. It contains absolutely nothing to remind one of the style of the gospel," close quote. Ulzog, volume 3, page 208. Luther stubbornly rejected the entire book of James because it did not agree with his doctrines. In rejecting the first five books of the Bible, Luther declared, quote, "We have no wish either to see or hear Moses. Let us leave Moses to the Jews, to whom he was given to serve as a mirror of Saxony. He has nothing in common with pagans and Christians, and we should take no notice of him," close quote. Ulzog, volume 3, page 207. Since Luther regarded Moses as having to do with God's law, which he hated, he wanted nothing to do with Moses' inspired writings. But since Luther's favorite writer was the Apostle Paul, we wonder how Luther reacted to Paul's inspired words to Timothy, quote, "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," close quote, 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 and 16. Remember that only the Old Testament Scriptures were written when Timothy was a child. Since Luther stubbornly wished to, quote, "take no notice," close quote, of Moses, we might remind him of the Apostle John's description of the victorious saints of God singing, quote, "the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb," close quote, Revelation 15, verse 3. But Luther's own writings promptly answer, quote, "I look upon the revelation of John to be neither apostolic or prophetic." Jules Michelet, The Life of Luther, page 273. He might then add, quote, "Everyone may form his own judgment of this book. As for myself, I feel an aversion to it, and to me this is sufficient reason for rejecting it," close quote. Ulzog, volume 3, page 208. And it is a fact that Martin Luther willfully rejected the authority of any book in the Bible to which he felt an aversion. Now perhaps we can understand the real meaning of the religious confusion of our time. Today's Protestants have inherited from Luther, acknowledged as the greatest leader of the Reformation, a spirit of self-will and a tendency to reject the all-inclusive authority of God's Word. As historian George P. Fisher wrote regarding Luther, quote, "In the retention of rites and customs, he did not require an explicit authorization from Scripture. Enough that they were not forbidden and are expedient and useful." His aversion to breaking loose from the essentials of Latin Christianity in matters of doctrine are equally manifest. Close quote. History of Christian Doctrine, page 283. In Luther's own words, quote, "No one can deny that we hold, believe, sing, and confess all things in correspondence with the old church, that we make nothing new therein, nor add anything thereto. And in this way, we belong to the old church, and are one with it. Close quote. Thomas M. Lindsay, A History of the Reformation, Volume 1, page 468. By their own statements, then, it is proved that the Protestants regarded themselves only as a continuation of the historic Catholic Church, but under a different and, quote, purified, close quote, form. Luther himself vehemently affirms their essential oneness with the Catholic Church. Regarding Calvin, Fisher wrote, quote, he did not deny that the Christian societies acknowledging the Pope are, quote, churches of Christ, close quote. He indignantly denies that he had withdrawn from the Church, close quote. History of Christian Doctrine, page 304. Philip Schaff noted Calvin's description of the historical Roman Church, quote, as our present design is to treat the visible Church, we may learn even from her the title of Mother, however useful and even necessary it is for us to know her. Close quote. History of the Christian Church, Volume 8, page 450. Protestant leaders' insistence on their basic unity with the Catholic Church and their identification of her as their Mother Church is most significant. God identifies the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther's earliest New Testament translations include many illustrations picturing the, quote, whore of Babylon, close quote, as the Roman Catholic Church. Describing this widely understood interpretation, Roland Banton tells us, quote, fallen Babylon is plainly Rome, close quote. Here I Stand, page 258. Countless Protestant books, pamphlets, and tracts make the same identification today. They brand the Roman Catholic Church as the, quote, great whore, close quote, of Revelation 17. But it must be admitted, most Protestant denominational writers have stopped making this identification. After publishing those editions of the Bible and pamphlets and tracts, they suddenly came to the embarrassing realization that they were telling on themselves. For the corrupt Roman, quote, mother, close quote, church has given birth to harlot daughters. If the clear, consistent principles of scriptural identification are to be honestly applied, the Protestant churches are, quote, harlot daughters, close quote, of a paganized apostate Rome. They came out of her in protest, but as we have clearly seen, they retain most of her pagan practices and concepts. They are still following Rome's example of mixing in the politics and wars of this world. And we have seen abundant Protestant testimony that they recognize she is their mother church. Protestant historian Rufus Jones wrote that Luther, quote, started out to inaugurate a church composed of those who had faith and spiritual vision and who revealed an ability and power to proclaim the word of God. But in reality, he left in full operation a large relic of the ancient creeds, an extensive rump of superstitions, traditions, and magic, and a heavy inheritance of external authority. Close quote. The Church's Debt to Heretics, page 228. In other words, the Protestants still retain many pagan doctrines and traditions inherited from Rome. We have seen that some of these false traditions involve the pagan holidays that early Catholics adopted and gave Christian-sounding names. We ought to look into these things. The Protestant churches stand clearly identified by God Almighty as the, quote, harlot daughters, close quote, of apostate Rome. Speaking of this entire Babylonish system, God commands, quote, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Close quote. Revelation 18, verse 4. The question is whether or not we will obey our Maker. What lies just ahead? All of this information is not just a philosophical argument against genuinely pagan practices, important as that may be. The understanding of this matter can also help protect sincere and zealous Christians, if they will take action, from the coming Holocaust, described in the Bible as the Great Tribulation. Brilliant author Adrian Hilton describes the background of what is right now underway. quote, Jesus had said his kingdom was not of this worldly order, and talked much of the world and the church being at odds until his return. It was not until Constantine began a process of syncretism that Christians began to understand the nature of the beast which was evolving. The Saturday Jewish Sabbath was replaced by Constantine's edict forbidding work on, quote, the venerable day of the sun, close quote, Sunday, and the celebration of the Passover was declared illegal on pain of death. It was replaced by Easter, celebrated on a Sunday, and inherited from a Babylonian cult to the goddess Ishtar. The Roman pseudo-Christianity caused many faithful believers to flee into the mountains of Europe and Asia Minor to escape persecution and death. There they continued, away from the world's view, as the true Church of Christ. The majority of Christians, however, were awed by the universal influence of the new unity. There was one empire under one emperor, leading one church under one God. Many believers began to wonder if they had not misunderstood the concept of the kingdom of God. It might have been the church itself, or even the Christianized empire. Thus, the fateful union of church and state was ratified, a union that was to shape the evolution of Europe for centuries to come. Close quote. The Principality and Power of Europe, pages 23 and 24. Later, Hilton continues, quote, just as crucial to the federalizing process is the erosion of the achievements of the Reformation. Even some prominent evangelical Christian leaders have presented this momentous move of God as one of the greatest tragedies that ever happened to the church, and state that Protestants, quote, destroyed the unity of Christendom, close quote. They fail to mention the true nature of the papal system of religion, the depths of spiritual darkness in which it keeps its followers, and its diametric opposition to true biblical Christianity. Unity, it seems, is more important than truth. The concept of Christendom, however unbiblical its practice, appears to matter more than the natural boundaries set between one principality and another, regardless of the liberties those boundaries defend. While visiting Austria in 1983, the Pope spoke out against national and artificial borders all over Europe. He added, quote, Europeans should overcome the menacing international confrontations of states and alliances and create a new united Europe from the Atlantic to the Urals. Close quote. In 1988, he continued this theme when he addressed the European Parliament in Strasbourg, an occasion at which many asked why a perceived spiritual leader was addressing the issues of political unity. The Sunday Telegraph in 1991 summed up the Pope's plans for the evangelization of Europe. It stated, quote, he is calmly preparing to assume the mantle which he solemnly believes to be his divine right, that of new Holy Roman Emperor, reigning from the Urals to the Atlantic. Close quote. Also see pages 36 and 37. Babylon revived. As Britain's Sunday Telegraph reported, Pope John Paul II expressed his wish to, quote, reign, close quote, over a new Holy Roman Empire. However, the question is, will it really be holy? Or will it actually be a revival of an ancient pagan Babylonian church-state system that God condemns? In a prophecy for our time, the prophet Isaiah described a modern virgin daughter of the ancient Babylon who would profane her own people, Isaiah 47, verses 1 through 9. God clearly describes this modern Babylon as, quote, the Lady of Kingdoms, close quote, verse 5. Then God states, and you said, quote, I shall be a lady forever, close quote, so that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. Therefore hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, quote, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. Close quote. But these two things shall come upon you in a moment. In one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments, verses 7 through 9. Notice how some of these exact statements are used against the modern Babylon that will fight Christ at his second coming. Quote, "In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, quote, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Close quote. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her." Close quote. Revelation 18, verses 7 and 8. This is the soon-coming church-state system in Europe, which will eventually turn on the American and British descended peoples and bring about the Great Tribulation. It will be a revival of ancient Babylon, with its priestly caste, pagan rituals, doctrines, and complete disregard for God's commands. It will be a clever counterfeit of true Christianity. For millions, though, it will seem like the real thing. Why? Because the vast majority of professing Christians do not genuinely study the Bible. They do not really dig in and try to prove all things as God commands. Therefore, even many evangelical Christians and their ministers will eventually be caught up in the euphoria of this powerful Babylonish system, for it will be part of the ecumenical movement. It will seem like the thing to do. Please remember Jesus' words, quote, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. The Jesus Christ of your Bible also gave this powerful warning, quote, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Close quote. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. The beautiful pageantry, the music, the pomp and ceremony, and intimidating power of this coming Babylonian system will be very impressive. But only those who genuinely do God's will and keep His commandments, all 10 of them, will be in Christ's soon coming kingdom. Quote, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Close quote. Revelation 14, verse 12. At the very end of his inspired word, our Creator tells us plainly, quote, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." Close quote. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. The religious sorcery and idolatry of the Babylonian system will be enticing to millions. The vast majority will follow that way. But the above passages warn about anyone who, quote, "loves and practices a lie." Close quote. The teachings of modern Babylon are filled with lies, misunderstandings, and pagan practices. Satan has been extremely clever in creating a counterfeit Christianity, which looks so much like the original that untold millions have been deceived. Those who follow this pagan counterfeit religion will suffer the full fury of their Creator when the trumpet plagues and the seven last plagues are poured out on a rebellious world. Revelation chapters 8, 9, and 16. Yet God's word describes the temporary wealth and power of this system. Quote, "For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, and of all who were slain on the earth." Close quote. Revelation 18, verses 23 and 24. And how will it end? "Then a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, quote, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. Close quote, verse 21. You need to act. God warns, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Close quote, Revelation 18, verse 2. Then God commands, quote, And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Close quote, verse 4. In this booklet, we have briefly demonstrated that virtually all religions have originated from Babylon. The Oriental and African religions have many of the same pagan and false concepts of God and salvation developed from the original worship of Nimrod and his harlot wife, Semiramis. Professing, quote, Christianity, close quote, is massively influenced and diluted by these pagan concepts. Wherever you are, whoever you are, we urge you to genuinely study the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation which God gave to mankind. For your sake, please do not just read the Bible for sentiment or to reinforce what you already believe. Learn to genuinely study the Bible and see what it clearly and repeatedly says about the real nature of the Creator God, of eternal life, and of the true way to eternal life. If you are genuinely interested and willing to prove these things, please write or call us and request one of our most helpful and fundamental booklets entitled Restoring Apostolic Christianity. Also, if you are willing to take the time to study, request enrollment in Tomorrow's World Bible Study course. Your enrollment is absolutely free, and all our booklets and literature are free. We just request that you put forth the time and mental energy to study these materials diligently, comparing them with the Bible itself, and sincerely prove to yourself where the truth is actually taught. We will continue to explain the prophetic events now unfolding to bring about the revival of Babylon and of the coming kingdom of God. This message will not be popular. We will be harassed, vilified, and persecuted for bringing you the plain truth about what is really happening in world affairs. But we must not be afraid to proclaim the full truth about genuine Christianity and about the apostasy directed against it by Satan the devil. For the living God does not take kindly to fools and cowards. Quote, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. Satan's counterfeit Christianity must be exposed, understood, and repented of. May God help you to act on this message while you have the opportunity. May God help you to act on this message while you have the opportunity. May God help you to prove to yourself what the Bible really says and to find out about and fulfill the genuine purpose for your life. To find out more about the Living Church of God in the United States, Post Office Box 3810, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-8010. Or on the Internet, www.tomorrowsworld.org. Or phone 704-844-1970. In Australia, GPO Box 772, Canberra, ACT 2601. Phone 07-5546-0472 or fax 07-5546-0768. In Canada, Post Office Box 409, Mississauga, Ontario, L5M 2B9. Phone 905-814-1000.
1094 or fax 905-814-7659. In New Zealand, Post Office Box 2767, Auckland, New Zealand, phone and fax 09268-8985. In the Philippines, MCPO Box 1774, Makati City, 1257, Philippines. Phone 632-813-6538 or fax 632-867-1569. In South Africa, Post Office Box 4271, Louis Pottsville, 1743, Republic of South Africa. Phone 2711-664-6036. And in the United Kingdom, Post Office Box 9092, Motherwell, ML1-2YD, Scotland. Phone and fax 44-1698-263-977.